Rome.
It's the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
Throw me the money!
Call or text now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
Alrighty then.
Now, the McFarland Show with Darren and Justin.
And a good Wednesday afternoon to you, and yes, it is time for the McFarland Show. We are live here on WNSR, and we are in the Strikers Bear Family Fun Center studio. We are the McFarlands. Darren and Justin here with you. DJ Damon is alongside, and we are excited to be here, and we have a great show for you. I am not reading from a script, even though it sounds like I am on a teleprompter. I'm not. We're excited to be here. Mark Byington, brand new Vanderbilt basketball coach, men's basketball coach, will join us in about 10 minutes. Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders in the second hour. And a lot of things to get into, including the Predators, as we talked about yesterday. Mm-hmm. Had a good conversation with Alex Doherty out in Vancouver. We knew that Trademko was out. Didn't know all this Tyler Myers stuff. So, Vancouver missing some key ingredients, and the Predators pounced and took advantage of it and took game two.
Certainly showed. Showed last night. Good for the Predators to take advantage of Vancouver's injury misfortune and put some goals on the board. The opening goal of the game was the one that I saw live. The rest of it I saw, you know, once I... awakened, you know, out of the these late night starts for me is rough. But you know, listen, what happened to the opening goal for Vancouver to Casey DeSmith happens, I guess, to every single goalie across the NHL, no matter how good you are. But he didn't know where the puck was. He had no clue. He had no clue where the puck was. None. You know, he was purely guessing. And you know, my wife, who was watching with me, she's giving me permission to say this. She was asking on the replay. She's like, "I don't see the puck." I said, "He doesn't either. He doesn't see it." And it went sliding by him. And listen, I get bodies flying around, flying past you, and you're looking for this hard piece of, you know, whatever it is coming at you here. I mean, it's hard to do. That's why
it's hard rubber.
That's why the good ones are paid a lot of money, because it's really hard to do. But it was clear to see there was a difference between the starter and the backup last night for Vancouver. And good for the Predators to take advantage and get that win and come on back here. The question is, what's going to happen moving forward? I don't know how much the problem I'm having, Darren, is I don't know how much stock I can put in last night's game. I don't know, you know, what's going to happen if he comes back. Is he going to be the same player, the starting goalie, you know, for Vancouver? When he comes back, what's going to happen then?
Apparently, he's dealing with a knee injury. Now, we're only going to hear lower body, because you're not going to hear squat.
Sure.
In the playoffs. You don't hear squat from the NHL anyway. Which does surprise me, with betting so prevalent now in the sport, that they do not make them disclose injuries a lot more. But they're not there yet.
Hockey
is still secret. We've got a secret, and we're not telling you. But he did miss significant. I guess he missed some time. I think it was close to a month down the stretch, late in their season. Then came back and played the last, I guess, couple of games. And they thought, you know, they're trying to get him ready for the playoffs. And obviously, he may have re-aggravated it. What's the extent of it? I don't know. But if Demko's out for the series, and by the way, what is the deal? Like, I still can't get anything on Tyler Myers. Like, what?
I don't know.
That's another one. It's like, okay, like, what is the extent of that? Like, what is going on with that? If those two guys are not going to be in the lineup the rest of the way, even just Demko, but you take both of them, those are two huge key ingredients for Vancouver. This series takes a major shift the Predators' way, if that is the case.
Real quick to your point about Casey Smith, the backup, looking here, he started 27 games this year for Vancouver.
Yeah, I think
just
he missed-
to show how much time that Demko has been out, the fact that your backup goalie has started 27 games.
Yeah.
That's a significant amount of games.
Well, like I said, he missed, I know he missed time late down the stretch. And then, you know, backups just, you know, if you're in a back-to-back, if you have the back-to-back situation,
sure, sure,
the backup always gets in there for game two,
no,
usually, or whatever.
They don't play 27 games typically, but they play.
Yeah. So, but look, it's still, it's very clear, as you saw last night, there's a significant drop-off from Demko to Casey DeSmith. And, you know, we won't know anything.
Yeah.
Rick Tocchet's not going to say anything. Both teams are flying here today. By the way, it's crazy the mileage.
Yeah.
The Predators traveled over 2,000 miles to get to Vancouver. The entire Eastern Conference playoffs.
Yeah.
Their round one matchups did not travel 2,000 miles. The entire Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
All their matchups didn't travel combined more than the Predators did to get to Vancouver.
Cities are a little close. You know, Vancouver is not across the street from anybody, just about, other than Seattle.
Seattle
and Russia. That's about it. They're fairly close to them. But outside of those two, it's not close to almost anybody. So.
Yeah. So they're both going to be traveling back today. And this has been going on for some years. You know, it used to be teams would get on the plane and they would come back and travel throughout the night, red eye, and get back home. Not anymore. I guess clearly, you know, they've done sleep studies and this and that. And so now teams just bed down.
They go back to the hotel.
They get a good night's sleep.
Wake up the next morning.
They get up the next morning.
And then fly back. Wow.
Because I guess what they figured out is your next day is wasted anyway.
Yeah.
Because
recovering.
Right. You fly through the night and you're gonna go home.
There's no production
the next day anyway.
Yeah.
So why not just go back to your hotel, get a good night's sleep, and just get up and do your travel day?
I guess it makes sense.
And so that's what's happening. I think they'll be back here around a little bit after we get off the air. I think 4:15.
So they're still not back.
No, they're in the air right
now.
They're
in the air.
Back.
All right. Very cool.
And the Knuckleheads are making their way to Nashville as well. So game three will be Friday night at Bridgestone Arena. I think puck drop is at 6:30.
Yes, that is correct.
Golden opportunity. Look, they took advantage of it. They got the 4-1 victory. Vancouver was all over them in the third period. It felt to me, Justin, I don't know, and I know you were in the back of your eyelids and had to catch up today.
Yeah, catch up a little bit.
But I sat there last night going, it feels like they were killing off a penalty almost the entire third period. It was insane.
The Predators were?
Yeah, because the offensive zone time for Vancouver was, it just felt like they never left the offensive zone.
Well,
the Predators, it felt like they were in their own zone the entire third period. It was crazy.
If we can get the coach ready to go.
Let's play it.
Andy Burnett here.
Well,
I know we gotta go here.
No?
Do you want to do it?
No. Because Mark Byington is calling in. So.
Okay. So let's give him the time to. Coach was just saying that he felt like Vancouver played very desperate in that third quarter.
They did.
Like, they were feeling the pressure, to your point. That was just going to bring up, Coach, to emphasize the point that you were just making just now about the fact they were feeling the pressure from Vancouver and just that they really battened down and making sure they couldn't get it done.
We'll play it a little bit later this hour. Look, they blocked a ton of shots, and that's what you have to do. You have to sacrifice the body in the playoffs, and that's what the Predators did. They blocked a ton of shots. But, man, it was like, golly, are they ever going to get out of their own zone? It just Vancouver's just whacking away. And it was like, it just, like I said, it felt like they were killing off a penalty the whole period.
All right,
we'll come back. We'll head over to West End. We'll talk to new Vanderbilt men's basketball coach Mark Byington. We'll do that next as you listen to the McFarland Show here on WNSR.
It's just a few cocktails at happy hour.
There aren't any cops around.
After every game, we always have a few. It's no big deal.
It was just a few drinks. I'm good.
Hey, I can hold my liquor.
I drink and drive all the time. you put away some drinks, put away your keys. Fans don't let fans drive drunk.
Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
Stirring fiber, exercising, frequent trips to the store for more laxatives and fiber. Sounds like your constipation with belly pain is a lot to manage. But if your symptoms that keep coming back are signs of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, ask your doctor how Linzess can help you get ahead of it. Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
And now, Paramount Roofing and Exteriors, LLC, is proudly saluting our troops and veterans. Their tireless effort should never go unnoticed. This message is brought to you by Paramount Roofing and Exteriors, LLC, serving Middle Tennessee. For all your roofing and exterior needs, give the pros a call today at 615-635-1790. 615-635-1790. That's Paramount Roofing and Exteriors, LLC. They're professionals who care.
Atlanta Braves baseball is back, and the battle for a 7th straight division title is officially on.
Stretching the pitch.
Swung on, lifted left field. That might get out of here. That's in the bullpen. Home run, Sean Murphy.
Tonight, be here for NL East baseball in Atlanta as Ozzie Albies and the Braves take on Jazz Chisholm and the Miami Marlins at Truist Park.
Pregame coverage begins at 6.05 p.m. live on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
You're listening to The McFarland Show live on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
Rolling along on this beautiful Wednesday here in Middle Tennessee. We are The McFarlands, Darren and Justin here with you, and we are live in the Strikus Bear Family Fun Center studio. Don't forget, you can watch the show every day on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. You can interact with us on our YouTube page. Just type in WNSR Live. One word, and we'll see your comments, and we can respond to you. We're excited to head over to West End. Let's bring in new Vanderbilt men's basketball coach, Mark Byington. He is on the line with us. Coach, good afternoon. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I had to leave Tennessee today to head back to Virginia, so I'm calling you guys from sunny Virginia. I left sunny Nashville, so I'll be back there soon.
Driving?
No, I flew.
Okay.
And, I had to take care of some things with the house. There's a lot goes on, and when you're moving, especially during the
coach
portal and all that day.
No, it's us. I don't hear you.
You guys there?
All right, everyone, if you're back with us here, this is WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio. I'm Justin McFarland, and this is the McFarland Show. I'm not sure if we've... Okay. I believe we were trying to I don't know if we've got him or not. Coach Bynson, are you with us, sir?
Yeah, I can hear you guys. How about on the other side?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Wow.
Everything dumped out on us for a second. We apologize for the technical difficulties, Coach, but we're still here, still with you, and anxious to talk to you, sir. We apologize about the technical difficulties on our end, sir. Everything is fine, and I'm glad you hung on with us.
Let's say this.
No problem. I'm glad I got a chance to talk to you guys. I wish I had done it earlier, but I've been trying to find some players.
Well, okay, let's go there, because you have been busy. You had a staff to complete, and you had a roster to try to complete. By the way, let's say this right out of the gates. Happy belated birthday. I know you just celebrated a birthday a couple days ago, so hope you had a good day.
I skipped it, so it don't count. So I'm still 47. Got to get to celebrate. So if you could do that, you could just stay right the age you want to stay at.
Oh, man, that's great. So how about let's start with your staff before we get to your roster. Is it complete yet, or you still have a couple holes to fill?
No, I mean, it's almost complete. The only position I have is kind of an off-the-court spot, and that was the first thing I did. So I brought three guys from James Madison with me, and I had to hire two more, and a strength coach, and get all those in place. But luckily, I had those three guys that came with me, so we were able to kind of get things moving even before I hired the other two, and now we're all here. We're all in Nashville. I mean, everybody's working great.
Why was this the next step for you? Why was this the right place for you in your career where you are right now?
Yeah, I just saw something in Vanderbilt that I thought was a great fit for me. And then I met the athletic director, and we talked about her vision, and it matched my vision. And I just think there's so much potential there. And you know, this is, you know, I kind of enjoy coming in and trying to, you know, take a program, you know, where they haven't been, or maybe they haven't been in a couple of years. And I love that challenge, but I thought Vanderbilt had absolutely everything. And I just thought, you know, this timing, this fit, the vision of administration, I thought everything worked out.
Had you been to Nashville before?
Yeah, ironically, I was there to a clinic probably about this time last year. And before that, I was there hanging out down on Broadway. So many times, but you know, this is different now when you're head coach of Vanderbilt as opposed to coming in as a vacationer.
No doubt about it. So, okay, so now let's transition to the roster part of things. I saw where you added, I think you've added now six young men to your roster. I saw the latest one, guard Jason Edwards and forward Devin McLaughlin, one from North Texas, one from Boston College. Filling out your roster, trying to do that, which, by the way, as you know, and every other Division I coach in the country, which is, what, 350, between the transfer portal and, you know, everything else that's going on, the way college athletics is set up today, it probably feels like every year you're going to be doing this, even if you didn't leave a program.
Yeah, I think it's the new normal, and it's stressful and anxious for a coach and players, because there is going to be a lot of roster turnover, and I think you said it right. I don't think it's just going to be for a new coach taking over a new team. I think it's going to be about anywhere and every single year, so this is what it is now, so you got to accept it and kind of do the best you can with it.
So what can you tell us about some of the additions you've added to the roster to this point?
Yeah, it's strange. I don't think I'm allowed to comment on them.
Okay.
The NCAA still has a few rules left. I think that's one of them. But I could just tell you this, kind of like in generalities. You know, we wanted to get guys that we thought were SEC talented players. We wanted to get guys that had a level of toughness to them, because we, you know, we preach that and believe in that. And then we kind of just had my staff and I, we wanted to find proven players that had more to prove. And so finding guys who maybe they had 1 year left or 2 years left or whatever in the transfer market, but they've already been good, but they got more in them and they got more they want to show.
I will say this, Mark Byington on the line with us right after you were hired. It may have even been the next day. We had Chris Dorch on from Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook and asked him about, because he was tweeting about Vanderbilt hiring you and was, you could tell, was pretty glowing on X. And so we had him on the show, and he absolutely loved the hire by Vanderbilt of bringing you into the fold. And so far, everybody we've talked to is really excited about what you're going to bring to the table. So what can fans in this market expect from you and your program, the kind of the style you're going to bring to Memorial Gym?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you get on campus and you kind of talk to the fans and be around them, it is a hungry fan base, and I love it. You know, it's hard sometimes for somebody that's that passion to move it forward quickly, and there is a lot of passion and energy, you know, around the program, around City of Nashville and fans. And so that's the same way I am. I mean, I got tons of passion, energy. I love the game. I love teaching. I love competing. So when you watch our teams, you're going to see that. I mean, we're going to play exceptionally hard. I can promise you that. And then you're going to see a faster paced game, more free flowing game that you know, recruits want to play in, players enjoy playing in. That's really a modern basketball game. You know, something you're going to see. You know, whether it's, you know, some colleges or NBA or a lot of the European professional teams. So it's very modern, fast, and kind of interchangeable parts out there.
Coach, why is Vanderbilt University that job? Why is this a good job?
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It can lead at everything. And so, I mean, I don't have to go tell a parent, you know, this is going to be a great degree. It's one of the best degrees. And then I don't have to go tell somebody we're going to play in a good conference. We play in the best conference. And then they visit Nashville, and if they haven't been there before, they're blown away. I mean, it's just—I just think it has everything, you know, with the conference, academics, and then it's even more committed now. We got a brand new practice facility going to open in a couple months. It's going to be state of the art. Memorial Gymnasium is allowed, really cool place to play home games in. I can't wait to get it rocking. So I really don't see anything that's going to hold us back.
Coach, I wanted to ask you about coaching at a private school versus a public school. You know, you've been at James Madison, obviously, and, you know, have dealt with that. And then you are familiar, of course, with public school, more state-run schools. What are the differences here? Because I feel a difference watching. We know dealing with Vanderbilt is a little bit different than dealing with some of our public institutions and, you know, the board and all the other things that happen, athletic department. What are the differences to you, if any, between a public and a private institution?
I mean, it's not something you feel day to day, you know, the differences in public and private when you're the head basketball coach. And, you know, it's a lot of people throughout the university, they deal with it more than I do. But for me, it's basketball, it's recruiting, it's alumni, it's fan base, it's donors, and that's the same everywhere. So, okay. I mean, I love the fact that we're at a prestigious school that's selective and, you know, just gets the best of the best in the entire world. And I think that's cool. When I'm out selling it to players that come walk on campus, I mean, I think they can feel kind of just the energy, the kind of vibe that's on campus.
All right, Coach, I want to ask you about this is a perception. I'm not saying it's reality about Vanderbilt, but I'm saying it's a perception right now that Vanderbilt has high academic standards, which I don't think anybody here would argue about that. But because of their academic standards, they cannot get the athletes that they want to compete in today's SEC. And with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma coming in, I you know, a lot of people saying, I don't know if Vanderbilt, with their academic standards, are going to have enough of the kids that they need in order to compete in a conference like that. What do you say to people who have that perception of Vanderbilt as an academic first institution? And, you know, they've kind of put sports on the back burner.
Yeah, it's definitely not a negative. It's an extreme positive. And it's what the Vanderbilt degree can do for you. And it's not for everybody. And that's okay. There is a lot of basketball players. It's a big country, big world. And this is going to be a great fit. And you know, my style, I mean, I love athletic guys. I love guys that get down the court and that are high flyers, that move well. And we're going to recruit that, and we're going to have guys that also have an academic background too. So I think it's a positive. And I could tell you, kind of being on the job here for a couple weeks, it hasn't slowed us down or hurt us one bit.
You talked about the fact that you say your style is different. Are you more of an up and down, or half court? Like, what can people expect? Where are your emphasis? Guard play, center? I mean, what can people, what's your signature? Do you have one?
Yeah, I mean, it is up and down. And like I was trying to say earlier, it's kind of positionless basketball, interchangeable. And, You know, don't freak out if I got a 6'10 guy bringing the ball down the court. That's kind of the way things work modern-wise. And you know, if you look at my teams, we're always, like, top 40 in the country in pace per play and tempo. And that's not going to change because I'm in the SEC, and actually it might even go even faster. So it is going to be exciting for the basketball. We're going to be extremely aggressive on both ends. And I think the one thing sometimes people look at and they're like, hey, that's your center bringing the ball down the court. Well, if he can dribble and pass, then he's going to bring it down the court, bring it down the court faster. And shooting threes, driving, attacking, it's going to be a fun brand. And I think the students are going to love it and kind of bring energy to Memorial Gymnasium, and the fans will love it too.
What are your short-term expectations here? Like, you know, next year, what are you expecting? Now, I'm not asking for a win total. I'm not saying you're going to go get to the Elite Eight next year. I'm just asking, what is your short-term vision and goals for next year's team? Will you guys get playing here?
Yeah, everything is going into winning now. I mean, it's not rebuild. It's not wait. It's not trying to have a good team a couple of years from now. Everything is going into winning right now. And that's the good part of the transfer portal is, you know, maybe a couple of years ago, it might have taken some time, and I might have had to say, look, let's be patient because we don't have many players available to us, or they maybe got to sit out. And that's not the case now. So right now we're trying to, you know, fill up the roster with great players who are going to help us compete for a championship. And there is no reason for us saying we're going to wait for years for that. You know, the goal is right now.
Coach, I think there were three holdovers from the previous roster, Lubin, Roberts, and Williams. Have you spoken with them? Do you have any idea, maybe their plans? You know, how has that process gone with, I believe, those are the only three left over from last year's roster?
Yeah, I mean, the players that were on the team last year, and the first thing anyone to stay over are my players now. And it's not like you know, we bring in new players, and they're mine, and the ones who stay around are somebody else's. So, the current guys that are already on campus, you know, we've had constant communication with them. And the ones that we thought fit, and we had kind of a mutual thing where we wanted them and that they wanted to be here, I think it's been great. And that's not for everybody. You know, sometimes it's one side or the other. Sometimes guys want to leave, and we want them back. And sometimes we're being honest with a player and saying, well, you're probably not going to fit our style, our pace, or you might accept the backup role, and they might look for other options. So it's definitely a two-way thing. It needs to be mutual, but the players that are going to be returning are ones that we believe in and definitely going to fit.
As we let you go, you said you're making your way back to Virginia. You played at Salem High School in Virginia, did you not? In high school?
I did, yes, I did.
Was your coach not Charlie Morgan?
My coach was Charlie Morgan, yeah, and he's got a Tennessee averaging job.
Yeah, he was at Dobbins Bennett, I remember.
Yeah, so he won two state championships at Salem, and then I think he got one at Dobbins Bennett. I'm not 100% on that, but he's a really good basketball coach.
Wow, that's awesome. Hey, we really appreciate you joining us. Best of luck moving forward with everything, and obviously we'll talk to you down the road, and have a great summer. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Coach.
Sounds good. Look forward to doing it again. Thanks, guys.
All right, that is Mark Byington. He is the new men's basketball coach at Vanderbilt, and almost has his staff complete. And as you heard in that interview, there were three carryovers from last year's roster that are staying with him, and I think right now six additions. So I think that puts him at 9, 10, somewhere around there. So maybe a couple more additions to that roster, and he'll be ready to rock and roll. But I'll just tell you right now, what jumped out at me is the pace of play. If they're going to be an up and down, and I know that is what college basketball is today, but that's good. It's like the Titans discussion, right? Like, you have to get with the times, and that's what everybody's doing. And we talked about it all college basketball season. It was almost every night, Justin. Yeah. Somebody was in the hundreds. Somebody was over 100.
Yeah.
Every night in college basketball, especially in the SEC. So, I mean, some of your more high-scoring teams, you know, Alabama and Auburn, I mean, Tennessee, these teams could score well, and that's what college basketball is today. And you saw teams that traditionally don't. Look at the team he beat in the first round, James Madison. Yeah. They beat Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, yeah.
Wisconsin, Virginia.
Yeah. They beat Michigan State early in the year.
I think it was the first game of the season.
Yeah, first game of the year.
Beat Michigan State. So that's where you have to be in today's game. And that was music to my ears to know that they're going to be a team that hopefully is going to be just like most of the SEC teams we see. That, you know, first team to 80 will win the game.
Yeah. You know, what stuck out to me is the win now attitude.
Yeah.
The fact that he wants to come in and win right away. He doesn't want to do a rebuild. He wants to go ahead and come in and try to win now. Which, you know, with the transfer portal, he sounds like, you know, the NFL with free agency and the draft. You could turn over a roster very, very quickly and get to winning. Really much across the board, the rebuild thing is not really as long and windy of a path as it used to be if you could find the right person who can play the right style. I just wonder if the fast pace, you know, style, you got to have the right guys, and obviously he knows what he's looking for to play his system. You just wonder, with the type of athletes in the SEC, you got to find the right guys to fly up and down the court. And, you know, we'll see. Listen, the guys in Tennessee, we know they pride themselves on defense. And so letting a team run up and down the floor on them is not, you know, that's not where they're going to be about. They're going to try to slow the game down as they always do. And so you're going to have an instant, sounds like a yin and yang there. Next time Tennessee gets on the floor with Vanderbilt, a team that wants to fly and another team that wants to slow down, another team that doesn't want to run. They want to slow down. They want to play more of a half-court game. It's a very interesting contrast, and I can't wait to see it play out.
You heard me bring up those two players, Jason Edwards and Devin McLaughlin, which, by the way, that was a funny line. The NCAA does have a few rules left. Honestly, like, I didn't know. I mean, I thought it was free reign with everything now. I mean, if it's out there and they're in the portal and you've picked them up, I don't know why you couldn't talk to them. But anyway, it's neither here nor there. But don't be fooled by one's from North Texas, the other's from Boston College. Just because we're not saying, hey, yeah, they're in the portal from North Carolina and Kansas. Look, that's you know, it's unfortunate for these mid-majors, but look, Dalton Cadet came from Northern Colorado. Nobody even knew who that school was.
Still don't.
And I'm not saying these guys are Dalton Cadet. I'm saying those type of guys are littered all over the country in big programs.
Sure.
And in the SEC, like North Texas or Boston College.
Sure.
I mean, you know, we had Savannah Wheeler on from MTSU, from Marshall. Look, there's great players, men, women, all over the country.
Yeah.
They're just mid-majors.
Yeah.
And they're now being discovered, and they get in the portal because, one, they may have played against them, right? And they're like, man,
yeah.
I remember that cat had 31 points on us. We beat him, but he was everywhere. We couldn't stop him. Yeah. Man.
Or that kid plays good D or whatever.
Right. And the next thing you know,
they're
on your roster. So good stuff. Appreciate it. On our text line, Nate from Columbia said, going back to the Tyler Myers thing, he said apparently he had the flu. I didn't see what was going on, so thanks for clearing that up, Nate. So I don't know what that means for Game 3. He also said that he could, our little snafu there at the beginning of the interview, he said that, you know, he could hear us and him. So
that's
not
good.
Sure what happened for a brief minute,
but
I'm glad it all worked out.
I'm glad he held on. I'm glad he was still with us, and I'm glad we're still here with all of that.
Kevin in Florida on our text line says, is there such a thing as a rebuild anymore with the transfer portal and NIL? Kevin, you know, that's a good point.
Doesn't sound like it.
No, not really.
Doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, I mean, but you can change and reshape your roster practically overnight.
But will that also mean that the hooks will get even faster for some of these coaches
that's
the
now? Other part of it.
If there's no rebuild anymore, if a coach comes in,
there's no more. Give him 4 years.
Yeah.
Give him 5 years. You're right.
If a coach comes in and goes 10-21, you can go right away and go, nah, this ain't working. Nope. Moving on. Well, give him a second year. Nope. No more second year. He's, you know, we're one and done now, which, you know, is not, also not sustainable. No country, no program in the country, not even the big rich ones, you know, you can't have 3 to 4 coaches on payroll because you keep throwing them out after, you know, 1 year or 2 years, it doesn't work out. Eventually, you're going to have to stay with a guy. And so, but I'm just saying, if they're promising there's no rebuild anymore, then what do you do with 10-21? What do you say with that? What do you do with a team that's underachieved, that's 14-18? How do you know? Is it bad? Is it injuries? Like, you know, I don't know yet. That's part of the new wave and part of the new landscape of college sports that we're going to have to figure out.
It's a good point. It may be the hook is faster. I mean, we saw Kenny Payne. It was 2 years now. Granted, it was bad for 2 years. I mean, he really gave them no choice at Louisville, right? It was just bad.
Yeah, but they don't sign 2 year. Or is that what's next? Are people going to start signing 2 year contracts?
If schools were smart.
Instead of 4 and 5 year contracts.
The problem is there maybe some coaches will be like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
Maybe so. But somebody will. Somebody will take the payday. There's some assistant coach somewhere that goes, oh, you want to pay me $1.7 million a year for the next 2 years? Cool. I'll come coach your program. I mean, so you may not get the guy you want, but you'll, you know, it just depends. We're really going to have to sit down as a basketball, college sports community and think about some of these issues that are going to present themselves here over the next few years. And I think we've just uncovered yet another one here about if you're going to give a coach, remember, 3 to 4 years to turn around a program. If it doesn't take 3 to 4 years anymore, then why are we giving them 4-year contracts?
Yeah, good point.
I don't know.
That's a really good point. Wide open the rest of the hour if you want to get involved. 615-844-5600. That is the phone line and the text line as you listen to the McFarland Show right here on WNSR.
And now, Ramirez's Handyman in Framing is proudly saluting our troops and veterans. Please go to USO.org and locate Military Care Package to see how you could help make a difference today. This message is brought to you by Ramirez's Handyman in Framing. For all your residential or commercial framing, roofing, siding, and handyman needs, no job's too big or too small. So give the pros a call at 972-684-0750. 972-684-0750. That's Ramirez's Handyman in Framing. They're professionals who care.
Progressive presents Good News, Bad News, Dumb News, then Great News. Good news. A letter in your mailbox says you could save money bundling your home and auto insurance with Progressive. Bad news. You saw it after your teenager backed the car into the mailbox. Dumb news. A new mailbox, basically a box on a stick, costs up to $400. Great news. You decide to see if you could save money bundling at Progressive.com and go with paperless mail instead. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
The smarter way to clean your floors. It's time to make the swap. Swiffer Power Mop.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop, the all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket, and the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop.
They say health is wealth, and I could not agree more. That's why if you or somebody in your life is living with everyday aches and pains, I want to tell you about Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that helps fight pain naturally. Naturally. Now that's a big deal. Developed by its doctors, Relief Factor's unique formula of ingredients all work together to help support your body's response to inflammation. Instead of masking pain for a couple of hours, Relief Factor actually helps reduce or even eliminate your pain for good. Whether it's neck, back, joint, or muscle pain, if you're looking to feel better, live better, give Relief Factor a try. In 3 weeks, you will know if it's working because you'll feel it. I was sent Relief Factor for me to try. I've been taking it every single day, and I do feel the difference. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF. Save on your first order. Don't let pain tell you how to live. Fight back naturally with Relief Factor. These products and statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition.
It's the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
Tony Pollard is younger. He's 3.5 years younger than Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
You're getting him in his prime, and as Adam just stated, you're not asking him to be a bell cow. You've got Spears and Pollard.
Yep.
That's where the league is today.
The McFarland Show with Darren and Justin on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR.
Five State Forecast.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan Forecast. For today, we'll have plenty of sunshine. High temperature this afternoon, 76. Mainly clear tonight. Cooler, low 48. Sunny Thursday, high 76. Mostly cloudy. Could be a thunderstorm Friday. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Text the Strike and Spare studio now at 615-844-5600. You're listening to The McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
615-844-5600. That's the phone line and the text line. Bravos back at it tonight down at Truist Park. Braves and Marlins. Lopez will be on the hill for Atlanta. Sanchez for the Marlins. Braves got the shutout last night, so they are 16-6 on the season. First pitch will be at 6:20. The coverage will begin here on WNSR at 6:05. So Braves and Marlins tonight. Keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. Appreciate Mark Byington for joining us. I was a little concerned at the very, very beginning because I thought, oh no, you know, behind the scenes, Stamen gave us a good laugh.
Yeah.
You know, him talking to Coach, you know, everybody who listens to the show knows Damon, where his, you know, what color he usually wears on most days, even though it's kind of out of season right now. I guess maybe he supports the baseball program, but
he does.
It was a little bit of an awkward exchange with Coach, and I was like, oh, no, did he, like, hang up on us?
No.
Because of that.
No, we found out. That's not the way you make new friends.
No, he rolled with the punches.
Yeah.
He was cool.
Yeah.
He was cool. But Damon did give us a good laugh.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, he always gives us a good laugh.
Yes, he does. He'll join us
to begin the second hour of the program. We will grill him about these receivers. What does he think? Mm-hmm. Who does he like? Who's a bust? We'll get into all that and more with Chris coming up soon. Predators get the 4-1 victory last night. Take game two against the pesky Knuckleheads. That series is now even at one. Let's hear what Andrew Burnett had to say.
Yeah, Andy Burnett, of course, head coach of the Predators. He was talking after the game last night about what went right for the Preds in game two that just didn't happen for them in game one.
I think it was one in the second period. And I thought the third period we were committed to the paint. And I think something that maybe game one we learned from a little bit, maybe weren't quite as committed to the paint. I thought in tonight with the block shots and the things that we did, sacrificing our body, you know, so we learned. And we're still growing. We're not where we want to be, but we're getting better. And today was a good step. Well, I mean, they want to win too, you know. And I think they were desperate. Maybe, you know, we got on our heels a little bit. Thought we had some pretty good shifts here and there, but we put a game away, and it wasn't always going to be pretty. It's going to be muddy. Game one was the same thing. It's a muddy game, and they do a good job in defending and in-your-face kind of hockey, and we're going to have shifts. We're going to have time in our own zone. It's not going to be perfect. I think we have some work to do a little bit, but at the same time, a growth for our group for a game like this, because it's not going to be pretty. I think every game is going to be kind of like this, and it was good for us to feel it a little bit. And I think game one, even though you lost that little stretch of 12 seconds, I think it was good for us, because I think it's showing us that we need a little bit more, and we got a little bit more tonight, so that's a step.
I thought it was interesting. The things we talked about game two on yesterday's show, you were very adamant about they've got to get out of this scoring two goals against Vancouver.
Yeah.
Pattern.
Yeah.
They did.
They scored.
They scored. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Empty netter. Did they get empty netter at the end? I'm trying to think.
I don't think
they did.
Did they?
I think so.
Okay.
Look. It was late. I watched the whole thing, but it was getting late.
Sure.
I never felt like they were ever in danger, even though the third period was insane. I still never felt like they were in danger of losing. But anyway, they got to four goals last night, and so they got out of that pattern.
Yeah.
Alex, remember, was very adamant about Philip Forsberg stepping his game up.
Yep.
He had a really pretty goal last night.
He did.
In the second period. And I was adamant about it is time for UC Soros to start standing on his head. It is time for UC Soros to start stealing a game or two. If we're going to praise him all the time and talk about how elite he is, then he's got to also be elite and crazy good in the playoffs. Because ultimately, we know in sports, that's how you are judged. And I thought he played a good game last night because certainly he faced a lot of action in their zone, especially in the third period. So I thought all the things that we covered yesterday, saying this is what needs to step up or advance or get better, all did last night. It's a game.
Yeah.
It's got to continue.
A win is a win. Not taking anything away from the Predators last night. They did what they were supposed to do. The only thing that, again, makes me feel a little bit shaky, and we talked about it here a little bit earlier, is the fact that they did all this with Vancouver's backup goalie in and not their starter. And if I can draw a football comparison, this feels like beating the other team with their backup quarterback in. You take the win, not saying it counts any less. It counts. Not saying it doesn't mean anything. It does. The series is tied at one. But you also know that wasn't their full best out
there. Well, don't forget Tyler. Do not, you know, I get it, Demko, but Tyler Myers is a veteran, huge body defenseman.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
So he's vitally important, too.
He's another key part for them. I understand. I'm just...
You took two key ingredients out of their lineup.
I'm just saying, and that's great. And, you know, it's great that they were able to get the win. Kudos to the Predators for doing what they were supposed to do last night.
But, Justin, here's the reality.
Yeah.
And I was thinking this last night, and I know that's not how sports works, but I was like, if they don't get this game with Myers and Demko out,
this series is going to be over.
Dare I say it, it's over.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But they did.
They did.
They got the win. Now this extends at least to 5 games now, we know. So they're going to have to go back out there to Vancouver at some point. And, you know, we don't know what the status is with Demko here getting back for them. I'm just wondering how different of it. We see what they're like without him, without Demko. You know, and if the Smith is going to come back out there, you know, on Friday night, then I fully expect the Predators to put on a very good performance and possibly win the game. And, you know, it's just me looking at it here.
I don't think he scares anybody.
No, he doesn't. That much was clear last night, which is why I think Demko, if he can walk, is going to be in that game. Even if he can't, even if he's not at 100%, I think he's going to be back out there.
Well, that's clear. He won't be. First of all, hardly anybody's at 100% in the playoffs.
Yeah, true.
Most people are playing through something.
True. But I think he'll be back out there because their whole – remember how, you know, Alex was on with us yesterday there in Vancouver. The fact that they were having this full-fledged spiritual experience up there in the Northeast or Northwest, rather, because Vancouver was in the playoffs in a good position for the first time in a long time. You're going to let all that go because the goalie has tweaked his knee? Nah, he better have an ACL tear for him not to be out there. Where you've got all this pride, you know, riding there in Canada.
I'm just saying right now, there's been many examples, including David Legwon of the Predators. There have been many examples of guys playing through the Stanley Cup playoffs with a torn ACL.
Okay, well, all right.
I'm just telling you, those examples are out there.
So, I fully believe that Demko will be back out there.
I don't know what's going on with him.
I don't know either. I think he'll be back out there for Game 3. I would be shocked if he wasn't back out. There's too much on the line for them.
Yeah,
you went through 82 games, and your fan base has been waiting forever. And we get here, you win Game 1, everybody's on a spiritual high. Then a few hours, not, you know, right after the game, hours before you drop the puck for Game 2, you announce that your starting goalie and another important defenseman is going to be out, and then the Predators come out there and win? Win going away? You know, empty netters means you're winning going away. It means you were, you know, pretty desperate at the end. They won going away. And now you're going back to their place? Now you've lost the home ice advantage and he's not going back out there? No, I'm not the biggest hockey aficionado on the planet. Just my sports, you know, spidey senses tell me that Demko's going to be back out there playing.
If what Nate said, if Myers, because I couldn't figure out why it was, I didn't know what was going on. If it was the flu, is he going to be on the team playing? They're not going to let him on the team playing, are they?
Mask him up. Send him in the back.
Is that right?
Send him separately.
I mean, I guess you're right. Like, how else? I mean.
Send him separately. Send him a commercial. Yeah, I don't know.
What, with the flu?
With the
flu.
Listen. You know how many people are wearing masks these days? No one will know. He's mask him, double, triple mask him, put him on a plane. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I know.
What? All right. You don't think there's people around you with the flu walking around?
This is Justin McFarland's medical diagnosis. No, I know, but he's got a guy, again, his frame, he sticks out. I think he's like, look him up. I think he's 6'7". Like, he sticks out. Okay. And they're like, wait a minute. Hey, bro, that's Tyler. Doesn't he have the flu? Why is he on this Southwest flight?
They may say that in Vancouver. By the time he lands here, nobody will know. And they're like, oh, boy, that guy's tall.
With a mask on.
You put a hat on. Is that a country music star? It's the country music star.
All right, we'll step away and take our final break for hour number one. You're listening to the McFarland Show, WNSR.
When was the last time you did something fun with family, friends, coworkers, and clients? What if I told you about a place under one roof that offers affordable entertainment for all ages? That's what you'll find at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers in Donelson, Hermitage, Tusculum, Hendersonville, and Murfreesboro, with bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. Enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville or Murfreesboro, where they feature additional fun with bumper cars, laser tag, roller skating, and more. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit online at strikeandspare.com. Strike and Spare, where fun is bowling.
Your brain is an amazing thing, but as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who are cognitively normal or mildly impaired, Prevagen has been shown to improve memory. A Pharmacy Times National Survey of Pharmacists rated Prevagen the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand for the fifth year in a row. You can find it in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere without a prescription. Help your memory. Try Prevagen today. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-649-0142. 800-649-0142. 800-649-0142. That's 800-649-0142.
Paramount Roofing and Exteriors, LLC, is proudly saluting all of our first responders for their service. This message is brought to you by Paramount Roofing and Exteriors, LLC, serving Middle Tennessee. For all your roofing, siding, window, door, and exterior needs, give the pros a call today at 615-635-1790. 615-635-1790. That's Paramount Roofing and Exteriors, LLC. AJ and the staff are professionals who care.
JB and the General.
I am in no means a chiseled goddess. God, I don't have a six-pack. I'm not looking like The Rock out here. But goodness gracious, George Niang legitimately has a beer belly out on the floor right now.
Yeah, but so does Jokic. He's the best player in the world.
Well, George Niang is clanking them off the backboard.
Weekdays 9 to 11, live on WNSR.
Give us a call, 615-844-5600. The McFarland Show with Darren and Justin.
NFL draft starts tomorrow night, round one. Titans currently have Titans. For the people who say Titans.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you hear that all the time. Titans.
Titans?
Yeah, I don't know why people can't say Titans. They have currently the seventh pick.
Yes.
The Lions, since they are the host city, I guess wanted to make a couple splashes today.
What'd they do?
They have inked Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Ah, the extension.
4 years, $120 million, $77 million guaranteed. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? That means he is now the highest paid wide receiver in the league.
Oh. Oh. Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Yeah.
Who is he?
He's a wide receiver. He's the number one wide receiver for the Lions. I think he's really good, but if I'm just being totally honest,
he ain't that good.
Your reaction kind of told me you kind of feel the same way, because I was like, look, I like him, but
sure.
$120 million like him?
Nah.
For highest paid receiver in the league?
Nah.
I don't see that at all.
No.
I'm sorry.
No. And $77 million guaranteed?
$77
million. That means he's going to get a check for $77 million right off the bat.
That means of that $120 million, he's definitely getting $77 of it. That's what that means.
I don't know. It's going to be in a lump sum exactly.
So what's but, 4 years by 4 years into 120 is what, 30 mil a year?
30 mil.
Jeez.
Last year, 119 catches, 1,500 yards, 10 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, that's off. That's great.
It's really good.
That's great numbers. Mm-hmm. He's really good. I'm not saying he's not but wow.
I'm not giving him 77 million.
Golly, that's a lot. That's a lot. I don't think Chris Sanders made that.
Oh, no, he didn't.
No. We'll talk to him next as you listen to The McFarland Show here on this Wednesday, WNSR.
News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Arizona state lawmakers squaring off on efforts to repeal the Civil War era abortion ban. ABC's Jacqueline Lee is in Phoenix.
We're hearing that House Republicans will also be introducing three measures today in order to add them to the ballot in November. What we're told is that they're doing this in order to muddy the waters. And the only reason they'd be doing that, actually, is because they're expecting this law to eventually be repealed. We know over at the Senate Democrats introduced their own version of this bill in order to repeal this law. That will have its second reading today.
The U.S. Supreme Court today hearing arguments on Idaho's strict abortion law and whether doctors can provide emergency care to patients facing health issues. President Biden signed the $95 billion foreign aid bill with critical aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. It follows months of delays in Congress. And Texas students at the University of Austin joining other colleges across the country protesting the Israel-Hamas war. This is ABC News.
The Omaha Steaks Spring Sale is the perfect time to get fired up for spring grilling. Head over to omahasteaks.com and save on all your favorites or discover something new. Plus, when you use promo code QUALITY at checkout, you'll get an extra $30 off your order. With 50% site-wide, you're going to want to hurry before the sale ends. Go to omahasteaks.com. Don't forget to use promo code QUALITY to get an extra $30 off at checkout. Minimum order may be required.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Start your experience at Bob's with the fried calamari or fresh scallops seared in Texas burnt honey. All the beef at Bob's Steak and Chop House are USDA prime cut. From the traditional fillet of tenderloin and ribeye to the adventurous Kansas City bone-in strip. They even have two different surf and turf options. And if you're looking for the other white meat, Bob's Steak and Chop House serves a dry-aged pork tomahawk with homemade applesauce. Fresh seafood is on the menu from salmon to scampi and even fresh lobster tail. For reservations, give them a call or log on to the Omni Nashville Hotel website. Bob's Steak and Chop House at the Omni Nashville Hotel.
exclusive.
You can't handle the truth.
It's about to go off.
Live from the WNSR Strike and Spare Studios.
Just a bit outside.
Now, back to the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
Show me the money!
Call or text now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
Alrighty then.
Now, the McFarland Show with Darren and Justin.
Second hour of the McFarland Show here on this Wednesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great day. Darren and Justin here with you. We're live in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio. DJ Damon is alongside for the ride. One more hour to go. You can watch the show on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. You won't be able to see our next guest. You'll only be able to see the McFarlands. Because he probably would. I'm sure he'd have a medium shirt on with no sleeves. He is forever Titans wide receiver, Chris Sanders. Chris, how much can you relate to Amon Ross St. Brown's new contract with the Lions? How much can you relate to that?
I can't relate at all.
Why not?
Because when they gave my contract, I got like $1.5 million. So, I had to carry the bag out.
Let's put it in perspective. Honestly, when you were, let's say, first couple years in the league,
yes.
What was the – do you remember who was like the highest – you don't even remember – you don't have to say who it was, but what was like the contract of the highest paid receiver in the league back then?
I think it was maybe like $5 or $6 million a year.
Oh, you think it was even that?
Not even that. I mean, just the contracts the guys are getting, seven – but here's the crazy part about it is I think 56 of it was guaranteed.
No, 77 mil.
77 was guaranteed?
Is guaranteed. It's a $120 million contract.
Only thing that was guaranteed when I was with the Titans was I got Gatorade and I got free meals. That was the only thing that was guaranteed.
Free parking? You got free parking.
I had to pay for that, too.
No, you didn't.
So I had to get a parking pass. What are you talking about?
What was your food money on the road?
Food, man, we didn't get no food money.
Oh, you did.
What you got on the plane, and, you know, you had a little piggy bank. You had to break it open and get the little coins out and go get something to eat. The contracts today with the wide receivers are unbelievable. You can catch 45 balls for 600 some yards, and you're going to get a big contract because it's not a running league anymore. It's a passing league.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It is good to be a receiver. You would benefit greatly if you were in the league today.
Boy, you catch five balls, and man, you're getting paid like $70 million.
Okay, so let's go right there then. Let's go to the school you attended. Everybody believes Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be the first receiver taken. Do you truly believe he is the by far best receiver in this draft?
I think he is. The reason why I really like him, everybody knows his dad. His dad's Marvin, played for the Indianapolis Colts, but he's just the all-around player. I mean, when I say it, I know it sounds kind of cliche, but he understands how to runs a route. He understands he has a game plan to line of scrimmage. But here's what makes him special than the other is he catches the ball in tight coverage. Because when you get to the league, you know, you're not going to get as open as you did in college. I mean, if you look in college, guys are wide open. But then when you get into the league, you got to make the tight catches and tight windows. And watching his wingspan, I mean, the cat is, 6'3", 209, long arms, you know, big physical guy, catches the ball at the highest point. So when you have a guy like that, that can catch the ball in tight spaces and tight coverage, those are the kind of catch that you want at the next level.
This is my assessment of Papa when I watched him when you were playing.
Yes.
Papa would catch the ball and either go straight down and not get hit, or catch the ball and run out of bounds and not get hit. Is that fair to say?
I think that's fair to say. If you watch him, he never really got
hit. Never took a hit, no.
He wasn't. I mean, I'm the same way. I'm not getting hit. Why? Just imagine. Right now I'm about 205. I'm kind of swole because, just like you said, I wore those medium shirts. I'm kind of swole. But when I got into the league, I only weighed like 182, 183.
Is that right?
I look gross in my uniform. I go back and look, and I'm like, is that me? I mean, I wouldn't be – if I saw myself, like, I'm not intimidated of that guy. But
would you carry – if you could do it over, would you have carried this type of weight or no?
No. I mean, because I felt faster. Once I got to about one 185, 186, I felt heavier. That wasn't as quick.
Okay.
But the most I ever weighed in the league was like maybe 183.
Hmm. Wow.
I'm looking gross. Look like JJ from Good Times. I mean, it just wasn't good. It just wasn't good.
Who do you think is number two? Who would you put after Harrison Jr.?
You know, there's a lot of guys. Everybody's talking about neighbors from LSU, but there's so many guys in this draft. You got Adunze from Washington. You got Coleman from Florida State. He's not a speed guy, but a big, tall guy, a 6'3", 213. Then you got Franklin from Oregon. But here's a guy that I love that a lot of people are not talking about, but they're on their radar, is LeGarrette from South Carolina.
Mm.
And the reason why I love him is he understands what to do with the line of scrimmage. He understands how to run routes, but also he can play all three positions. When I say all three positions, that's 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, and three wide receivers. He can play the X, the H, and the Z, and he understands how to get open. He's got good feet. He reminds me of A.J. Brown. I'm not saying he's there yet, but his physical build, the way he catches the ball, and the way he runs routes, that's the kind of cat that I absolutely love.
It is funny, after we're having this conversation, that you said Xavier LeGarrette from South Carolina, because
yeah.
I believe he is the heaviest receiver of every receiver in this class.
He's thick, man.
He's a big old guy. Yeah.
And there's another cat that I like from Texas, you know, Mitchell. I mean, 6'2", 205. If you look at these receivers that are coming out, I mean, there's some big dudes. I mean, you got Texas, he's, what, 6'2", 205. You know, Polk, Washington, he's 6'1", 203. And then you got Walker from North Carolina, 6'2", 193. I mean, you got guys that are big, physical guys that can run. But at the end of the day, you better run routes, you better understand coverages, and you better make the plays or you're out of here.
Okay, so you said LeGarrette is one that you like. Is there anybody – who's another receiver that you really like?
Oh, from Georgia. Ladd McConkey.
McConkey, you like him?
Love that guy.
Really?
The reason why I love this guy is because he's not the burner. He's not the fast guy, but he's one of those guys that kind of like Steve Largent. He had a one-bar face mask. No, he didn't have that. But he understood that if I run my routes and I get the DB's hips locked opposite of where I'm going, I'm going to win. So you get a guy that can come on there and third down, run those choice routes, and you know get the ball and keep the chains moving. I'm telling you, man, this guy is very, very good in space and in third down.
If you were given the opportunity to go to the draft, if you were coming out now, would you go?
If I knew I was in the top three pick, yeah.
Okay, if you're one of these guys that we're talking about, would you go?
Like the lower receivers? I mean, not the lower, the bottom receivers?
No, more like Neighbors or Harrison or
Denzel. Yeah, I would go because just for the experience. But if I wasn't sure, if I wouldn't get drafted in the first and second round, I'm not going. Because I'm not going to be the butt of everybody's jokes and be in the green room, and it's just me, my mom, and my cousin in there. And we're the only ones not getting drafted. It's not going.
Your mama and your cousin.
My cousin. And I'm just looking at my mom. I'm looking like, I don't know. And then my other cousin, he eating all the snacks. So
I don't know. They told me they were going to call. Washington said they were going to call. I don't know what happened.
Like, then your cousin, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. We're going to get him. Like,
we're going to get him.
No, you better take your phone charger because you're going to be staring at your phone for a long time.
All the snacks gone. They just you and mom. Mama looking at me and my lips are getting white and I'm putting chapstick on it. You know,
yeah.
I'm trying to look
just waiting
coffee.
For your moment. Waiting for the moment.
Do it.
I wanted to ask you about, because what I've been listening to, Chris, is a lot of coaches former general managers, former front office folks who are on YouTube now disagreeing about how a prospect is shaping up according to their analysis here. You're on a coaching staff yourself, be it that it's high school. You're on a coaching staff. I would imagine. And I'm not asking you to, you know, air all the dirty laundry and calling kids names and because I know you're not going to do that in no way, and I'm not asking you to.
I'm just saying.
Surely there are spirited disagreements about what position a kid should play and what, you know, I see him as this, another coach who also has very good football pedigree, sees him as another thing, and you guys are going back and forth and going, no, he doesn't have this, he doesn't have the hips for that, he doesn't have the feet for that. How do you settle those things? I mean, who's right, who's wrong? Do you keep tallying and say, well, you know, you were wrong about that kid 3 years ago, and if you listen to me, he'd have been playing this position, and you look at him now. I mean, how do you settle those disputes?
You know, it's funny because you say that. It's because, you know, I work at Montgomery Bell Academy, and we go through that every season. Because, you know, this guy's a corner, this guy's a safety, but at the end of the day, what's the vision of your team? I know that sounds kind of cliche-ish. I know we'll have some heated debates. Listen to me carefully when I say this. Heated debates. But at the end of the day, we got to make sure what's best for the kid, what's best for the team, and what's best for the vision and where we're going. And that's kind of how we handle it. But if you have a whole bunch of coaches that have their ego and they want to do it their way, then that's when it's going to cause friction. But at the end of the day, if the whole concept is the vision of making the team better, then even though I may want that guy as a receiver, but he's a defensive back, it's the betterment of the team. And that's kind of how I had to handle it.
Joe Alt, who is the kid from Notre Dame, his father, of course, played in the NFL. I learned yesterday, listening to a little bit of background on him, he was a quarterback and tight end.
What?
In high school, and made the transition to offensive tackle after being quarterback and tight end in high school, Chris. So now he went to Notre Dame. He didn't go to, you know, the junior college down the street. He went to Notre Dame, okay, and became an offensive tackle. Now, so I'm asking you, good sir, players who change position in high school and into college, and it happens all the time in the NFL. But typically, though, it's a small change. It's, you know, cornerback to safety. Not to say that's a small change, but you know, it's a change like that. You're still playing defensive back. You're still similar traits. Mm-hmm. What happens to guys who have to suddenly change their whole life essentially when you change position like that? And you have to be a different kind of athlete, I would imagine, to do that.
I mean, just like what you said, I mean, you're playing quarterback, but quarterback and offensive line are totally two different positions. Like, when you're a quarterback, you have to be an athlete. Check this out. You got to have some good feet. You got to have some athleticism. But now you switch to the offensive line to where you got to have athleticism and you got to have great feet. So I think it works intertwined, but they're still different positions. Hmm. I just think that, you know, with him, you know, he started to grow and he started to get bigger and he started to be physical. I mean, just imagine being a quarterback at 6'8". I mean, that's just not going to work because that ain't going to work. Okay, you 6'8", and you trying to be quarterback. You're going to get broken up. So now he's got a bigger frame. I can't remember his size. I think he's 6'8", you know, almost 300-something pounds. So your body's big. You're physical with great feet and being an athlete in high school. So it really, really helps you. But the one thing I love about this guy, Joe Alt, is his hands. I mean, the first punch that he has and, you know, the leverage that he has and the physicality that he has, I just think he's going to be a great asset for this Tennessee Titans team.
And what you're talking about, like, he's already, like the card is in.
I think he is the reason why I say that is because they addressed a lot of things in the offseason. They got a running back because Derrick Henry's gone. They got a wide receiver, Calvin Ridley, to complement Hop. But then now you got Will Levis, who's at the rim of being quarterback. So what do? If you're going to protect your quarterback, you got to get a left tackle. But here's the thing that I really want the Tennessee Titans to understand, which they probably understand, that if you look at it in the whole and the history of drafting in Oilers/Tennessee Titans, in the top 10, there were two guys that they drafted, Munchak and Bruce Matthews. Both of these guys were Hall of Famers. You know, you got Bruce Matthews, I think in 1983, they got drafted ninth. You got Mike Munchak in 1982, the eighth pick, and they both were Hall of Famers. Now you're going to the seventh pick. And if you pick Joe Alt, can he be that same caliber of player? Can he be a third Hall of Famer? But when you go up and give that card in, you better make sure he's that kind of caliber of players like Mike Munchak and Bruce Matthews.
All right. And I'll bring this to you because, you know, you know about these kind of things better than anyone. We had on a young man named Justin Mello a few days ago. He's a college football draft guy. You know, he prides himself on that. He says that Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best player in this draft, bar none, period, the end. It's not even close. He's head and shoulders better than everybody else in this draft as far as a player is concerned, prospect player is concerned. However, we're talking about the possibility that Marvin Harrison Jr. could go out of the top five. He may end up fifth, sixth, seventh, depending on how this goes. Well, I know, listen, because they're taking quarterbacks now. Yeah, there's going to be a run on quarterbacks at the beginning. So this is all I'm saying. All I'm saying is this, Chris. I've had a hard time justifying taking a quarterback, even though if you're Washington, if you're some of these other teams, you're New England, and you know that you need a quarterback. There's no question they need a quarterback. They are quarterback deficient at this point. But we also know, Chris, the history will tell us that all these quarterbacks ain't going to work.
I know.
They're going to pick six. And maybe two, they're going to pick six in the first round. maybe two. Two is a good number. Maybe two will be good. Good enough to get a second contract. That means the other four are going to be nothing. We had it yesterday with the Zach Wilson kid. Zach Wilson was the second overall pick in the NFL draft. In 2021, he got traded for a sixth rounder?
Sixth rounder.
3 years later, he's gone. Okay, gone. Wow. Now, here you have a generational talent at wide receiver. Somebody you think you know. Not think, not guess, not hope. You know he's going to be the guy. How do you bypass Marvin Harrison Jr. to go for a quarterback who you are hoping might be pretty good?
Yeah, but see, the thing about it is, what's the need of the team? I mean, if you look at the Chicago Bears, you look at Washington, those are the two. I think that's the first pick and the second pick, and then you have New England, and then you have the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, you got to understand, what do you have on a team? If you have two number one wide receivers, then you have to get a quarterback. But vice versa, if you don't have a quarterback that can get the ball to the receivers, I don't care if you have Jerry Rice, I don't care if Randy Moss, I don't care if Chris Carter, your team is going to lose. Because if you look at some of the great teams the good teams in the NFL, what was the number one thing that they had? They had quarterbacks. Yeah, they had some great wide receivers. Yes, they had, you know, some number one guys. But at the end of the day, if you don't have a quarterback that is the face of your franchise, they can make plays, they can make everybody around you better, it ain't going to make a difference. Just imagine if you know, I'm just throwing this out there. Just say if the Chicago Bears go and get Marvin Harrison. Yeah, they got Marvin Harrison. They got some other great wide receivers like DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. They have those guys, but they don't have a quarterback that's pulling the trigger. Those guys, you're going to have three frustrated receivers. So I think that's the reason why you go get a quarterback.
As we wrap this up, Vanderbilt Football named a new director of player development today.
Oh, Lemansky Hall.
Yeah, I was going to say he was a teammate of yours, Lemansky Hall.
Yeah, great guy, but here's one thing I love about him. I coached with him at Christ Presbyterian. He's a great coach, but here's what I love about him is he's relational with players. So for him getting that position at Vanderbilt, he's not just going to make that organization better. He's going to make a lot of those players better because he's real and he's going to help those guys in their lives. So outstanding by Lemansky Hall, but he coached at Innsworth, but I'm still kind of mad.
What are you mad about?
Because he coached at Innsworth.
There's
that.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I forgot. He just hit my heart. He just crushes at Innsworth. So I have to take it all back.
Well, good job by you knowing that. You jumped all over that.
I know. I almost forgot. I was happy when he did. But seriously, honestly, I'm so happy for him. He deserves it.
Well, good stuff. Chris, appreciate the visit.
Thank you, sir.
Man, always. Call me more often, man. Check on the brother.
Okay, we will. We will.
You tell a story. You know somebody telling a story. Hey, we will.
Yeah.
Hey, go count your money.
In quarters. Appreciate you.
They have a machine now that will do that for you.
Get some more tokens million? For the machine.
In quarters?
Yeah, you just pour it in the machine. It'll count it for you.
That's true.
have a good day, Chris.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate you guys.
Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Good stuff from him. Wide open the rest of the hour. If you want to get involved, you can do so. The number is 615-844-5600. That's the phone line and the text line. More of the McFarland Show here on WNSR. BuyAndTow.com. Get cash for junk cars. You have a vehicle that's become a problem? You can get cash in your hand today and your vehicle hauled away. They'll buy your vehicle no matter the condition, in your driveway, at your mechanic shop, or even on the side of the road. You can call them at 615-480-6473 or visit BuyAndTow.com. Get cash in your hand today and your vehicle hauled away. 615-480-6473, BuyAndTow.com. That's BuyAndTow.com.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-617-0239. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. There is zero risk to you. If we can't reduce your tax debt, then you pay nothing. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have a 5-star rating on Google and Yelp and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-617-0239. That's 800-617-0239.
Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Attention business owners. WNSR has some exciting opportunities for your business to thrive in the dynamic world of sports radio advertising. As the proud home of some of your favorite sports teams like the Atlanta Braves, Memphis Grizzlies, and more, we understand the power of sports in bringing people together and creating a passionate community. We believe that your business can become an integral part of this experience, reaching a diverse and engaged audience. Contact the WNSR sales team for an opportunity to discuss how Nashville's sports radio can elevate your brand to new heights. Whether you're interested in a specific sponsorship package or would like a customized solution, we are here to meet your advertising needs. Call 615-844-1039. 615-844-1039 or email saleswnsr@gmail.com. That's saleswnsr@gmail.com.
Hey, if you're looking for a place to catch all the hockey and hoops action this spring, look no further than the Alley Pub in Bellevue. And now here's Samantha to tell you about one of their great weekly specials.
Attention service industry. We want to say cheers to you at the Alley Pub, located at 7040 Highway 70 South in Bellevue. Every Wednesday night, bring a copy of your ABC card or pay stub to receive 20% off of your tab. Only at the Alley Pub, Bellevue's best sports bar and grill.
Atlanta Braves baseball is back, and the battle for a seventh straight division title is officially on.
Stretching the pitch.
Swung on, lifted left field. That might get out of here. That's in the bullpen. Home run, Sean Murphy.
Tonight, be here for NL East baseball in Atlanta as Ozzie Albies and the Braves take on Jazz Chisholm and the Miami Marlins at Truist Park.
Pre-game coverage begins at 6.05 p.m. live on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the Strike and Spare Studios. You're listening to The McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
We talked about Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's now the highest paid wide receiver in the league. The Lions making some news today. They are the host city of the NFL draft that starts tomorrow. So they give their wide receiver 4 years, $120 million, $77 million. Guaranteed. Well, they weren't done. Their big left tackle, Penei Sewell, they also gave him 4 years, $112 million.
Nice.
$85 million guaranteed.
Jeez. Well, no money left in Detroit.
How about that?
Okay.
But, I mean, obviously, those are two key pieces for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, today is not the day to ask for the piggy bank in Detroit. There's nothing left. They're going to have to restart the fund there in Detroit. But, you know, listen, they believe in these guys and believe that they are the cornerstone, you know, moving forward there. They just had a historic season for them. You know, and you believe that these are the guys who are going to eventually get you there. Amon-Ra St. Brown's 24 years old. He's only spent 3 years in the league.
He was, what, a fourth-round pick?
I believe so. But, you know, listen, it hadn't been long. Yes, fourth round pick. Very good. Fourth round pick in 2021 out of USC.
You get hits like that, it just changes everything.
Yeah. Which now thinking about it, if that's the case, a fourth round pick, and this would be his fourth year, this would be the last year of his rookie deal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you go ahead and ink him now, because the price tag is only go up. If he has another great season, now he has free agency, and then, you know, now you got another whole new problem. So you might as well go ahead and pay him now. This investment is a lot for me. But this is what they've decided to do. So here we are. Here we are.
This is how you get to a conference championship game. Everybody kind of criticized them, thought they were crazy for passing on Ja'Marr Chase and taking Sewell, right? But think about what they did.
Yeah.
They got their stud left tackle, and then in the fourth round got their number one elite receiver. So they got the best of both worlds.
Yeah. But, you know, it doesn't always pan out that way. The fourth round receiver is not always, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I understand. I'm saying that's how you get to a conference championship. That's what we've been talking about with the Titans. Like, you have got to start. That's how this happens. The 49ers.
Yeah.
You have to draft better. They have been so bad with the draft here in the last 5 years. And yeah, so they've got to get better at that.
Yeah.
That's how you get to the the conference champion. That's how you get to the Super Bowl. That's how you get to conference championships. You've got to start hitting on this stuff. You can't look. Not only were there failures at the top, you know, they actually probably had more success after the top, didn't they? Really, if you get down to it.
Yeah.
But Detroit, like, you got to have, and you're right, that's not going to happen all the time.
No.
But it did for them.
Sometimes you get Amara St. Brown, sometimes you get Dez Fitzpatrick. I mean, they were both fourth round people, and here we are.
Yep.
So, I mean, one turns into one, the other one turns into the $77 million guaranteed guy. You don't know who you get, and you know. And now there's consequences to that. The guy who drafted him remains there in Detroit, Brad Holmes. The guy who drafted Dez Fitzpatrick no longer has a job.
Yep.
It's what happens. So you hit, and then you miss.
Mike Martz, former OC, former head coach in the league, he weighed in on somebody.
So let me set this up real quick here, Darren, and make sure we give proper credit to everybody. You mentioned who Mike Martz is, of course, longtime NFL assistant, and was the offensive coordinator of that greatest show on turf, who beat the Titans in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 34, took over the head coaching position, got the Rams to another Super Bowl. They didn't win it, though. He works for an organization called the 33rd Team. They're on YouTube and all these other
spaces. I see him on Twitter all over the place.
Yeah. So he was doing a podcast for them. They asked him to break down some of the offensive tackles. Of course, we know Joe Alt is projected to be the number one offensive tackle off the board, so most people think. However, Mike Martz, who has been in many a draft room, many over the years, is not really high on Joe Alt at all.
Watch him. He just does not. He's not a powerful guy. And it's hard for me to think of a guy being taken in the top 10 that's a left tackle that's just not a powerful guy. Does not have the strong hips and the flexion that you'd really kind of like to see, particularly in a left tackle. This really bothers me. If you need to come off this thing, engage him and walk him off the ball when you're that size and if you have that kind of talent, and it just doesn't happen. He's kind of more of a push and shove guy at times in the running game, unless he's on a down block. But he's going to play, obviously, left tackle in the league somewhere, but he's just, I guess what I'm saying is just, I have some misgivings about it. And he's technically very sound, but here he does a real good job. He's just a guy that tall that lifts those legs as high as he does, and just not a good bender. Just isn't, you know, but he's really well schooled in what he does. He's got a great motor. He can finish off balance and still stay alive and keep things going and all that good stuff.
So, obviously, he's watching tape at that moment when he's talking about this. This is radio, so what you can't see is him watching the film of Joe Alt play football at that point and making some pretty critical comments there, saying that he's not very strong, more of a pushy, shovey guy. Now, again, I'm not the expert Mike Martz is, but I know what that language means, though. You know, you want your offensive tackle at times to drive players, the defender, away from the ball. Not push him, not shove him, take him, move him, drive him, push him where you want him to go. And you're pushing, shoving, that's more of a, well, we would really like you to go over here, please. Let me nudge you. Let me push you, which is not the same thing as taking someone and driving him, which gets to the point to where he's not that strong, according to Mike Martz. Again, this is Mike Martz saying all these things about Joe Alt, the fact that, you know, doesn't feel like he's that strong and probably not worth a top 10 pick. Didn't call him a bum, didn't say he can't play, just is unsure that he's a top 10 guy.
He'll play. But he didn't say, I want to hear it again. I want to listen to the words again. So, Damon, if we could, I want to hear this one more time.
He's not a powerful guy. And it's hard for me to think of a guy being taken in the top 10 that's a left tackle that's just not a powerful guy. Does not have the strong hips and the flexion that you'd really kind of like to see, particularly in a left tackle. This really bothers me. If you need to come off this thing, engage him, and walk him off the ball when you're that size and if you have that kind of talent, and it just doesn't happen. He's kind of more of a push and shove guy at times in the running game, unless he's on a down block. But he's going to play, obviously, left tackle in the league somewhere, but he's just, I guess what I'm saying is just, I have some misgivings about it. And he's technically very sound, but here he does a real good job. He's just a guy that tall that lifts those legs as high as he does, and just not a good bender. Just isn't, you know. But he's really well schooled in what he does. He's got a great motor. He can finish off balance and still stay alive and keep things going and all that good stuff.
I think the word I was looking for, now, he said, I wanted him to say he's nasty. Because
no, he didn't say that. No.
I know.
No, he didn't say
that. And you want that guy, especially that size, to be nasty. I mean, let's be honest. For all the flaws of Taylor Lewan and drove the fan base crazy, right, with his injuries and just the stuff, right? We don't need to go through that. Yeah, yeah. You could never say Taylor Lewan wasn't nasty.
Oh, most definitely. He played with an attitude all the time.
He played with an attitude.
Permanently.
At times, out of control.
Yep.
But he was nasty.
Yeah.
You want that. Brad Hopkins was nasty.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Michael Roos was probably the calmest of the three, but he was a secret nasty.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you could see it in B-Hop. You could see it in Lewan.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't necessarily, but Roos had that quiet.
Yeah.
He was that, like, silent assassin.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
I agree with you.
He wasn't the outburst guy, but he was nasty.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
You want that guy to be nasty, and I didn't hear him say that.
No.
And that's the part that would concern me, because a guy that size, at that position, he's got to have an edge on him. And I'm not saying that Mike Martz was saying he doesn't have it, but I didn't really hear that either.
Now, to be fair, you know, that was edited because Mike Martz used some colorful language all throughout, which, you know, is not suitable for radio. So he talked about him for a good 5 minutes. We heard about 1 minute worth of the things that he was saying. So let's put it in proper context here and be fair to Mike Martz and to Joe Alt about what was being said. But in listening to the whole thing, no, he did not talk about a nastiness or a mean streak. He was really more talking about technique and, you know, what he saw and what he was going to need to do on the next level. He also says that he was doing what he's been coached to do. He said that quite a bit, that, you know, this is what they were coaching him to do at Notre Dame, to play in this way. And, you know, he's got to do things a lot differently. But you heard him say, what you did hear him say, is that he was concerned about, I heard three things in particular. He wasn't strong enough, powerful enough. I'm putting them both in the same category. He wasn't strong enough, wasn't powerful enough. He also says that he didn't have good bend. You know, what does that mean? Well, they want him to be more flexible. For as tall as he is at 6'8", at some point you got to be able to get down to block these guys. If not, they're going to out-leverage you coming around the corner here. That if you can't bend with them, then, you know, good luck with an edge guy. Good luck with Will Anderson, you know, from the Texans, if you can't get down with them. It's real simple. Last but not least, he was talking about the fact I'm guessing here with his hand placement, talking about he's more of a pushy, shovey guy and not a grab and go, grab and move. You're going to go over here because I tell you to. This is mano a mano. I'm not giving you a choice. And, you know, the old Titans, we've talked about it time and time again, imposing the will, which is what those old Titans, Chris Sanders' generation of Titans, specialized in. And those guys you named before, Brad Hopkins, Michael Roos, Taylor Lewan, they specialized in imposing will. I don't care what you think. I don't care how many weights you've lifted. I'm telling you, you're about to go over here because that's the play. So snap the ball and let's see what happens. Now, again, Darren, that was the previous generation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where we're going now. Maybe that kind of thing isn't necessary. Yes, I know certain fundamentals are universal regardless of who's the head coach. I'm just saying that, and we'll get into it deeper tomorrow. Tomorrow, I am leaning, Darren, I'm giving a sneak peek. I'm leaning that the Titans may not draft Joe Alt. Even though I've been predicting this whole time, they may draft the kid out of Penn State instead. They may draft Fashanu. And why?
Are you saving that for tomorrow?
I'm saving it for tomorrow on draft day. I'll reveal all of that tomorrow on draft day. But I've been listening to some stuff. I've been really digging into it. And, you know, of course, the Titans will tell you nothing at their press conference. We know they're in need of an offensive tackle. But the more I'm listening to it, the more I hear not just Mike Martz. I'm not basing my opinion just on Mike Martz. But the more I listen to a few other things, I think they might go for Shanu.
Look, most people, all the mocks that you see, mock drafts, are picking Joe Alt.
Yes,
the Titans,
that is correct.
I mean, I don't know what the percentages are. It's high. Okay. Look, Jim Wyatt asked it. I'll let the cat out of the bag because I've been saying it for two months on the show. I said Joe Alt.
I even
told Jim I wanted to go different. I just couldn't.
Yeah.
So I will tell you, Mike Martz is not the only person that isn't, air quotes, in love with Joe Alt. Like,
that's true.
Can't miss. I've seen stuff on X, Greg Cosell, who breaks down film for, has been doing it for decades.
I've heard some of his analysis.
He's
as well.
Tremendous at what he does for NFL Network.
Yeah.
Or NFL Films, excuse me, right? NFL Films.
I think, yes.
Yes, NFL Films.
Yes.
And he watches, that's what he does. He just watches tape year round. And I've seen stuff on X that he, again, he's not saying he's going to be a bust. He's not saying this guy's a bum.
Haven't heard that from anybody.
He's saying he's not in love with him.
Yeah.
In other words, he's got warts.
Yeah.
And, you know, because a lot of times you will hear guys coming out of the draft and people will say, when I've watched him on film or I've watched the tape, I just kind of feel like this guy's a can't miss. I think most everybody feels that way about Marvin Harrison Jr. Can't miss guy, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people, you know, this time of year, they're in the business of trying to more talk about your flaws than how great you are.
Yeah.
Really, you don't hear that about Marvin Harrison Jr. It's just, he's fantastic. Even Caleb Williams has flaws in some people's eyes, right? There's a lot of people that are not sold on him, and he's going to go, dare I say it, number one overall.
Yeah.
He's going number one overall, and there's people out there going,
there's
some things that really concern me about him. So I'm just saying Mike Martz is not the only one out there that's saying, I like him, but I don't think we're going to go to prom together. I really like him, but I don't think I'm going to ask him to prom.
To your point about Greg Cosell, I heard him say, I heard him say yesterday that a lot of people have been comparing Joe Alt to another Joe, and that's Joe Thomas. And he said very quickly, he's not Joe Thomas.
Well, that's pretty lofty expectation.
Yeah. But of course, Joe Thomas is the first ballot Hall of Famer and all that.
If we were all comparing him to Joe Thomas, he would be that can't-miss guy.
Yeah. And we're not – some people – I've heard some people go that far with him, making a kind of a comparison. But Greg Cosell was quickly trying to move away from that camp and saying, no, he's not Joe Thomas. Don't do that. Don't fool yourself into thinking that he's Joe Thomas. He's not Joe Thomas. Now, does that mean, again, that he won't be a good player? I think he will be, but to what degree?
Again, as we've said for a long time on the show, good is not going to be good enough at 7. 7 needs to be great.
Yeah.
7 doesn't need to be good. They've drafted a lot of good players.
They have.
Too high. And at those spots, they need to be great. Corey Davis was good. You pick him number 5, first receiver taken off the board, he needs to be great.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah.
Joe Alt doesn't need to be good if they're taking him at 7. He needs to be great.
We'll see. Jury's out.
All right. We'll take a break. Come back. More of the McFarland Show here on WNSR.
The Locksmith Company, our full-service locksmithing expert, is proudly saluting our first responders. Their tireless effort should never go unnoticed. This message is brought to you by The Locksmith Company, a proud veteran employer. For all your residential, commercial, or automotive locksmithing needs, call today for a free estimate or 24/7 emergency service at 931-801-5427, 931-801-5427. And also visit thelsco.com. The Locksmith Company is looking forward to seeing you.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? We can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents or having to waste time showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your house to foreclosure. If you have equity in your home, we'll buy your home and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call now before your situation gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just need anymore and get the cash you need today.
Call this number now.
Call 800-527-4903. That's 800-527-4903. 800-527-4903. Again, 800-527-4903.
Paid for by Airtime Media.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process, started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. 800-462-3333. That's 800-462-3333. 800-462-3333.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Dame Dalla. Nobody was betting on this guy going into the postseason. He just reminded everybody why he needed to bust out of Portland. What he's really in Milwaukee for. Dame's like, Giannis? No Giannis? Psst, please, have some. You know it's a great half when you don't score at all in the second half, and you still lead them to an absolute beatdown. Great to see Dame looking like Dame, and I know the Bucks definitely agree because they need him now more than ever.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
You're listening live from the Strike and Spare Studios, downtown Music City. It's the McFarland Show.
Tonight, the Braves hosting the Marlins, 6:20, first pitch. Coverage beginning at 6:05, right here on these airwaves. Lopez on the bump for Atlanta. Sanchez on the hill for the Marlins. Braves coming off a 5-0 shutout last night of the Marlins. So keep that in mind for tonight's action. We talked about the Lions doling out a lot of money today. A couple of huge contracts.
Yeah.
Here's some other huge news. I don't know if you saw this.
Okay.
It's been 14 years. Hard to believe.
Yeah.
2005.
Yeah.
Reggie Bush is getting his Heisman Trophy back. They are reinstating him.
Well,
I guess as the 2005 Heisman Trophy winner.
It's been nearly 20 years since he won it, but 14 years since they took it away from him.
They took it away in 2005.
So it's 2024, so it's 19 years then.
You're right. You're right.
Okay. Now I don't know what. I think it's.
I don't know what to deal with my math here.
I think they took it away. Well, because you're reading the report. The report says 14 years. I think they took it away from him 5 years after he won it. So I think it's been 14 years since they took it from him, the Heisman Trophy.
So they took it 5 years after he was done.
Yeah, after he won it there at USC because of the allegations and the sanctions and all the rest of it. You know, and now, yes, Reggie Bush is going to get his Heisman back, you know, and apologies and, you know, maybe be welcomed back to the community and all that kind of great stuff. From my recollection, Reggie Bush is not, he's not in the Heisman House commercials and all that.
He is not. Nope.
He was included with all of that
nope.
that we've seen in recent years. There's been kind of a lot of them. It's been pretty good. They've included a lot of the former Heisman Trophy winners, Tony Dorsett, Barry Sanders. Eddie George, of course, has been featured in those. Marcus Mariota at times, you know, Tim Tebow, of course. So, but one character that has been missing, player that has been missing is Reggie Bush. We've even seen Steve Spurrier in the in the Heisman house, but we haven't seen Reggie Bush. And maybe that will change. Listen, whatever happened was a really long time ago. And here's what's so crazy. What happened then is perfectly legal now with Reggie Bush and his parents getting the money for the beach house and the car and the whatever else that happened. It's perfectly legal now. I'm not saying it was okay at the time. It wasn't okay at the time. Right now, we see it in a very different way, I think. So,
did you see who was the most outspoken on this matter?
No.
Johnny Manziel.
Interesting.
Johnny Manziel said he's not going to any more ceremonies until they reinstate him.
Interesting.
And then he tweeted out today, thank you to the Heisman Trophy for doing what was right and welcoming back a storied member of our history back into the fold. There were many voices throughout this process that stood on the table for Reggie simply because of the kind of human being that he is. I look forward to being, and it goes on and on.
Sure.
Also, Matt Leiner, of course, was his teammate at USC.
Yeah.
And also Tim Brown from Notre Dame, another Heisman Trophy winner, was very outspoken publicly about getting him back into the mix. But look, here's the deal. We all know what was going on when Pete Carroll was the head coach at USC with Reggie Bush and Matt Leiner and Lindell White and all those other great players that were there. We all know what was happening, okay? With all that being said, and we heard all the stories about Reggie Bush, right? His parents and the condo they had, the car he drove, all that stuff. What was going on in that time frame? But what we cannot deny, whether his parents had a beautiful condo, you know, that was paid for by USC, and he had a, you know, a high-end car that he was driving around on campus when he was playing at USC, it does not take away from what he did on the field.
Oh.
And Reggie Bush was one of the more electrifying players we've ever seen in college football.
Spectacular.
NFL, you know, he was okay.
It didn't really
translate.
He flashed at times.
I mean, he was fine. He had a decent career.
Yeah.
But in college, he was one of the best we've ever seen. He was, if we were doing a, I don't know, it's not top 10. Let's say top 20, 25. He's absolutely in that.
Yeah.
On that list of all time.
Of all time. Yeah.
He's on a top 20, top 25 list of all time college football players.
Spectacular player at USC. Can't miss TV when he was on.
Yeah.
You put the ball in his hands. You just didn't know what was going to happen from one moment to the next. Our reverse field, the power, the speed, the elusiveness, everything. Catching the ball as well. Caught the ball tremendously well. Not just, you know, on the handoffs. I looked up the Heisman voting from 2005. Do you remember who was in second place that year?
I think it was VY.
It was.
And he tried to, I think I remember when all this was going on, he tried to give it to Vince, and Vince did the right thing and declined.
Yeah.
He tried to give it to, well, give it to him.
Yeah.
Or they tried, maybe they tried, I don't know how, but I know that Vince, they tried to give Vince basically like, okay, well, he's out.
Yeah.
So you're now,
you were the
and
second
he was
guy.
Like, no,
I'm not taking that thing.
Yeah.
No. And of course the two, you know, matched up in the national championship game. Vince Young won that particular matchup. But you know, Reggie Bush won the
Vince
Heisman.
Vince was a great college player.
Spectacular.
Great.
Spectacular in college. One of the most fun quarterbacks you will ever watch in college football was Vince Young. He was another, you know, must-see TV kind of guy. If number 10 in orange was out there playing, man, he just didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know what he was going to do. He was something very special.
Tim Tebow, Johnny Manziel. These are all, I was putting together a top 20,
Tim
25 of all time.
And Johnny Manziel was,
those cats are all on my list.
Yeah. They are a step above as far as just watching and enjoyment of the game and just unpredictability. You didn't know what was going to happen with them. They were pure magic when they touched the ball. They really were. And you know what's interesting is it's Reggie Bush, it's Vince Young, then it's Matt Leinart, Brady Quinn, Michael Robinson, and A.J. Hawk, who all were on that Heisman Trophy list from that particular year. And you know, it's been a long time since
the finalists.
The finalists were Bush, Young, Leinart, and Quinn.
I was going to say they usually only do four.
But Michael Robinson. Was the guy who received two first place votes, quarterback from Penn State. He received two first-place votes for the Heisman that year. So they were the players that received first-place votes, along with D'Angelo Williams from Memphis received a first-place vote, and so did Drew Olsen from UCLA got a first-place vote. I'm looking at it here. It's just interesting to look back and realize what's happened moving forward with these guys.
I'll tell you another one that, look, it may be laughable for some, and you're like, oh, yeah, of course you're going to say it. Again, it did not work in the pros, but in college, especially considering where he played when they were not a successful football, Tim Couch was pretty amazing at Kentucky.
Oh, yeah. Tim Couch was a lot of fun.
They opened it up. Like, everybody's doing that today.
Yeah.
But back then, they opened it up.
Yeah. It didn't work in Cleveland, though.
No, it did not. All right, we'll take our final break, come back, wrap up Wednesday's edition of the McFarland Show next.
Hey, Tennessee, Jeff Fisher here. Ready for edge-of-your-seat football action? The Nashville Cats are bringing it to you live.
I'm Eli Gold, and we promise you an electrifying experience with every play. Arena football is back. It's furious and full of fun. Join us for the greatest show on turf. Secure your tickets today at thenashvillecats.com and get ready to cheer for your Nashville Cats.
You know that Big Bargain detergent jug is 80% water, right?
80% water? I thought I was getting a better deal because it's so big.
If you want a better clean, Tide Pods are only 12% water. The rest is pure, concentrated cleaning ingredients.
Ooh, pass me the intercom thingy.
Attention shoppers, if you want a real deal, try Tide Pods.
Don't pay for water, pay for clean. If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Pods.
Water content based on the leading bargain liquid detergent.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Gas, groceries, utilities, you name it. The price of everything is going up. And if you're stuck in a bad timeshare with rising maintenance fees, the financial burden can be crushing. It is time to get your finances in order and get the real facts about that timeshare that you are stuck in and your options to get rid of it. Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, has been helping families out of horrible timeshares for over 10 years and has put together a complete timeshare exit information kit that he will send you absolutely free. To date, over 30,000 families have trusted Wesley Financial Group to help them out of financial hardship by getting them out of bad timeshares. Get the facts about how the timeshare industry works and your options for cancellation. Simply call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit and see how you can become timeshare free. Call 800-462-3333. That's 800-462-3333. Once again, 800-462-3333.
Family Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give.
It's time to get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data, and you get to choose who joins your family plan starting as low as $25 a line.
Does it have to be family?
It can be family or people you like.
Get more lines and more savings. Switch to Straight Talk for family plans starting as low as $25 a line per month for 4 lines. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.
It's a Bill King Show.
If I ever told you my disdain for spring games, they are useless, they are irrelevant, they are not representative of a real college football game, nor does it tell you what you need to be looking out for once your team gets on the field for fall games that do count, that do go in the record books, and do mean something.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
The McFarland Show. Video streaming live on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube from the Strike and Spare studio.
I'm just glad that tomorrow we can say it's here. And look, we've tried to space it out and not go too crazy and go too long.
No, it's time.
But, you know, we haven't avoided it either. But it's just, like, what more is there to say? Like, we're all just...
No, it's time.
We're all just saying the same stuff.
Yeah.
Okay? Everybody.
It's time.
It's time for the damn draft.
Yeah. It's time to call the names and let's stop all the silliness and let's go. And then get on, you know, to the real off season where when it goes real quiet. You know, they'll release the schedule at some point, then we'll talk about that. And, you know, there'll be a couple little things. But you know, it's time to make the draft and put the cake in the oven and let it cook. And then, you know, you can turn a light on and take a look, but don't open the oven until it's time to take the cake out. And so now it's time. This is the last set of ingredients that we're getting ready to draft coming up here on Thursday. Then we mix it, stick it in the oven, and we won't pull it out until August and see what we got.
What are we cooking? Coconut cake? I don't know.
We won't know until August.
Oh, okay.
That's the beauty of it. We don't know what we're getting.
Strawberry pound cake.
Don't know. Don't know what we're getting until August.
Sounds good.
Well, we'll know starting tomorrow what kind of cake we've got in the oven.
No, we won't.
We won't?
No. We have no idea. You know how these guys are going to turn out?
Well, no, but we'll know there'll be physical players to talk about.
Yeah, we'll be able to guesstimate. Well, you know, we can look and think, and it should shape up like this.
Well,
you know,
we hope
it looks like this.
It starts a new chapter of discussion. Like, rosters fill out, and now you know so-and-so that we've been talking about forever is with fill-in-the-blank.
Yeah.
So-and-so is in the AFC South.
Yeah.
So-and-so got picked by the Titans.
Yeah, but we don't know if it's any good.
Well, I know that.
Like, Damon asked, what kind of cake are we going to? I'm like, I don't know. We'll see when we open up the oven in August, and we'll take a look, and we'll go, oh, this is not good.
We won't know anything in August.
Well, that's true.
That's August, a long September. Baking process.
I was going to say, I can't stare at the cake that long.
Wow. We do it every summer. Are you kidding me?
No, I need to dabble in it. I need to taste it.
Yeah, well, that's why your cake is not very good.
Wow. Man. A eager today.
Right at the very end. Frisky.
There you go.
All right. Braves baseball tonight. We will see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock.